Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 130, The Power of Three. And with me this week, I'm supposed to get a laugh in the mind. With me this week is Mr. Robert Haynes.
Hello.
Reese Barton.
Hello.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You can talk wolf in your grandmother's nightdress.
And the very lovely Mary Lang.
Hello.
Hello. Right, now, because you're leaving, Mary, be quiet. I'm going to crack straight on with my notes. Because this was on a Saturday night that I was actually able to sit and watch the programme, and as opposed to the normal me watching it on a Sunday, I was able to make notes because I've seen it twice now. And it's one of this series I'm going to actually get to see twice, because the next one I'm doing something on Saturday evening, next week.
I think I've seen it four times, maybe five.
Yeah, okay. Right, so we'll crack on. This story,
what on earth for?
Power of Three. The Power of Three, written by Chris Chibnall.
Because it's good.
Stop interrupting my synopsis. be quiet. Amy and Rory suggest choosing Doctor Life or Real Life. And then it says something about the year of the slow invasion. Or she does. This is Amy, because she does some sort of voiceover. The year of the slow invasion. There are millions of black cubes everywhere, as Brian reports when he calls one morning. And the Doctor is intrigued. Real news readers plus Professor Brian Cox talk about the cubes on TV. I quite like that bit, especially the Professor Brian Cox bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
do you know him, do you?
Well, no, of him. Obviously, he does loads of science-y programmes on the BBC.
Not obviously, because I haven't heard of him.
He's a bit of a clever clogs. Anyway, Brian, Rory and Amy and the Doctor speculate as to what they are. TARDIS, spelt on my notes as Tradis, appears to wobble as they exit in the Pons house. I think it might be the door.
You didn't put periods between the letters, though.
No, but don't worry about that. Troops turn up. Amy announces that they...
Just a dig at Reese.
Yeah, all right, never mind. We'll do that later. Amy announces that they have been travelling with the Doctor for 10 years. The troops invade the house.
No.
Well, they've known him for 10 years.
That was Amy talking about, because you know when she was a little girl?
Oh, is it really? I thought...
And she
I got the impression that her and Rory had been travelling with him for 10 years. That's the impression I got.
They had. That's what she said.
Look,
she said,
I just watched it.
What?
I did too, not 5 hours ago.
So what?
I watched it to finish it.
Kirby, what did you get from that? Did you get
She very specifically says it's been 10 years since Ledworth, subjective time to her and to Rory, not to the world. She said specifically says not it has been 10 years in the world, but and she's talking about her adult being an adult and meeting the Doctor. When he came back for her.
Yeah, the night before her wedding.
It was 12 years and then another two or something from between the original Ledworth and when he came back.
Okay.
In...
fair enough.
11th Hour. I went back and watched 11th Hour.
No, I haven't been able to watch that yet, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway, troops invade the house. Rory is in his...
You haven't watched it yet, Adam.
Be quiet. Rory is in his pants. It is UNIT. Ooh. Kate Stewart, head of scientific research, introduces herself, and she knows of the Doctor. Surprise, surprise, because obviously, never mind. She tells of the experiments that they have done on them, on the cubes, not Amy, Rory, and the Doctor. Doctor sneers at Twitter, which I thought was obviously ironic, because Moffat was quite into Twitter.
That was deliberate on Matt Smith's part.
Yeah. Yeah. Gemma Redgrave has a resemblance to a young Nick Courtney, I thought, so it was quite good casting on that sort of thing. Doctor struggles with his everyday life. With everyday life, not his everyday life. Brian is watching the cubes in the TARDIS for the fourth day after the Doctor had told him to. We get some more TV clips. And obviously, like I said earlier on, the BBC people on this are genuine newsreaders, unlike they used to sort of have a mixture of actors and newsreaders now. It was all Jen.
Yeah, I was looking for the American, and I didn't see her.
Mm. Yeah, not a single American one.
Maybe
yes.
She's retired. Or maybe she just realized her hair was just not really up for scratch. Moving on.
What?
What?
Rory and Amy commit themselves to work stroke bridesmaids activities.
Even the Radio Free Scaro guys made a mistake with that, because they, or it may have been the Doctor Who podcast, they were saying there was the American newsreader, and I went back and checked.
No, nope, you know what they think the American newsreader was. There was a lady in one of the sort of sealed units with a cube on the table that resembled her a little bit later on in the episode.
Oh,
well, and they're all Canadian anyway, so what would they know?
Rory and Amy commit them. I've done that bit. Brian starts a video log. He calls it UNIT.
Oh, yes.
There's a mysterious girl in the A&E waiting room. And these weird nurses kill a patient. Well, apparently they didn't kill it. They just took it up to the spaceship. A cube glows blue. And what they did, the barbecue, and the month of June is actually being barbecued on the barbecue. Do you notice that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amy.
Tasty.
They tend to be doing that with titles, yes, don't they?
Yeah, and they had July in the Ponza's kitchen.
They did, yeah. Not sure whether I like it or not, but I'm not bothered at the moment, so I'm probably okay about it.
It was just, it's just redoing the
Pond
same
Life
thing they were doing in Pond Life.
Yeah, I know. Amy leaves a message about their anniversary on the Doctor voice. What? Oh, I've spelt mail wrong. Sorry, it's Mally. That's what confused myself. On the Doctor's voicemail. But he is there. He takes...
You need to spell check your notes.
He, no, not a sort of notebook or note thing on the iPad. He takes them to the Savoy Hotel when it was opened. I can't remember what the year was, but it was obviously over 100 years ago, because they're dressed in Victorian garb. They hide from Henry VIII, and obviously because Amy's married Henry VIII, so he sort of rather emulated the Doctor's marrying Queen Elizabeth I. Brian, though...
And they made mention... they made mention about a mobile phone charger.
Oh, yes, indeed.
No, they don't mention it.
Was,
mention
right,
it.
No,
it's, you see
that
it.
Was in the town called Mercy, yeah.
Right, yeah, but you do
but
see
that's,
it.
Yeah. That's the
payoff. The year was 1890, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Kirby. I thought you might come up trump for that one. Anyway, Brian knows they had been away from the barbecue for a long time, 7 weeks rather than 7 minutes. The Doctor admits that some of his companions died. He promised that won't happen to the Ponds, of course.
How many have died?
Two. Two, I think.
Something well, like it depends who you... There was Katarina and Sarah Kingdom.
Oh, three. Sorry, Sarah Kingdom. I forgot about Sarah Kingdom. Sorry, Sarah Kingdom. Anyway, but you say he promises that won't happen to the Ponds, which rather makes you think it probably will.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Right. Lord Sugar fired Craig. I don't know if that's Craig as in Craig from...
that was funny.
From, the...
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
I'm not closing that. And for failing to sell more cubes than the other team.
I had to look Lord Sugar up because I had no idea who he was. He's not who does The Apprentice here.
No, he isn't. No, no.
Neither is he here, but they have shown...
That's the odd-looking bloke with the strange hair who does it over in America.
Yes.
Who also you can't seem to talk without pursing his lips when he talks with his you know so I'm talking
sounds a bit like
Donald Trump.
He talks on his lips. He's,
yeah,
he's,
you're right.
Anyway,
you're right.
Strange. Dr. Amy and Rory eat fish finger custard.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
Like that.
When I said Dr. Amy and Rory, I didn't mean Amy was a doctor. I meant the Doctor Amy and Rory. Okay. Brian nods off as a cube comes to life. The Doctor plays Wii tennis. Then a cube appears in front of him. A cube spikes Amy's hand and takes her pulse.
Get out of the way, dear.
A cube hovers in front of the Doctor. Then a gun comes out, and he said, "Oh, what's that?" And it assimilates information from a computer or TV or whatever it was trying to assimilate information from.
It was a web-enabled TV.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the Doctor. Smart the Doctor
TV.
Runs.
It was the same TV he was playing Wii on.
Oh, okay. The four of them get together, and then Rory is called to work. Doctor and Amy go to see Kate at the Tower of London. Cubes are attacking people around the world. One is playing the Birdie song on a loop.
Oh, God.
Indeed.
that was funny.
The Doctor makes Kate know that he knows she's the Brigadier's daughter. And the Doctor regrets not collecting and burning cubes. He asks Amy if she's thinking of going. Now, this the fact that the unit know of the Doctor, I thought, well, the Doctor was dead universally, so surely...
Yeah, unit, except...
Yeah?
Obviously, time is really messed up in these the four episodes so far.
No, it's forgetting certain key plot points is really messed up. I don't think it's time.
We're seeing these in a completely different order than they're actually occurring. Mm. And who is sending me a message?
I don't know.
The last scene of them going into the TARDIS was actually filmed Amy and Rory's last scene.
In real life.
So, yes, it was out of order.
Well, this whole episode was the last episode filmed with Amy and Rory.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay, thank you. Didn't know that. Oh. What did I say? The Doctor regrets not collecting and burning the cubes, and he asks Amy if she's thinking of going, as in leaving her and Rory. One day soon, maybe, you will stop. What the hell does that say? I have known for a while. Sorry, it says I ha vain own for a while.
You can't read your
own. No, it says I ha vain own for a while. I mean, how am I supposed to read that? You were the first face this face saw. And he's running towards Amy and Rory before they fade from him. That's quite a nice way of putting it, I thought, that whole sort of load of lines that the Doctor said. The Doctor realises that the cubes are scanning everything and everybody. As the power fails, the cubes show the number 7 and then 6, and an obvious countdown.
And then 5.
Yeah.
And then 4.
All right, thank you. He mentions the great earlier Doctors. I thought that was quite a nice comment as well. I presume he's talking about him rather than Doctors as in medical doctors. I don't know. I think it's probably him, isn't it? No? Okay,
could
right.
Be. I don't know.
Rory sends Brian to get a box of dressings. He bumps into the sinister nurses. Brian is wheeled off into a lift, which is in fact a portal to a spaceship, where it's actually a wormhole, as I'll find later on.
Actually, I think it's the same lift from the Big Bang Theory.
You do.
Okay. It's got the do not use.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Sign. No, that's right.
The Doctor volunteers to experiment himself with a cube. The cube counts down to 0. Nothing happens at first. The cube is empty because it opens up, obviously. And the cubes on the street, and in the shots of the cubes on the street, they look a little bit bigger than the cubes in the rest of the programme. That's just me being a bit finicky. Then people start dying around the world. The Doctor has a heart attack. The Doctor was supposed to... What? Rory finds Brian on a bed. The sinister nurse...
You're reading this off the iPad.
Yes,
or
be
something.
Quiet! Yeah. The Doctor struggles with one heart. The Doctor discovers the sinister little girl.
Adam struggles with reading.
He collapses, and Amy uses a defibrillator to restart Lefty.
Conveniently left there.
Eh? What do you mean?
Yes.
It was conveniently left there.
Why?
Why?
The defibrillator.
Oh, I see, sorry. I said restart Lefty, and then you said it was left there, it confused me.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway.
Well, they're in a hospital. There are those carts standing around.
Though, it was a bag, though, that she got. A self-contained bag. Usually they'd be in a cabinet on the wall.
You reckon?
Or yeah, on a trolley.
All over the place.
They have those defibrillators.
Can I please interject? Right. They've just said that people are collapsing with heart failure all around the world. Don't you think they would have actually got the defibrillators out and be panicking, trying to use them left, right and centre, so they may well be lying in the corridor because they've been...
It's only when they figured out what was going on, though.
Yeah, but it was happening then. The Doctor had...
Yeah, it was happening then, I agree.
The Doctor had gone from Tower of London, where the people are having heart failure, and got to the hospital. So in between him going from there to there, people were collapsing with... cardiac arrest, weren't they? So they would be in a hospital, have the defibrillators out. Anyway, back to my notes.
If they knew that's what was going on.
When the Doctor has his heart restarted, he has to go into the staying alive pose.
Yeah.
Right. Can I carry on? They just leave the dead robot girl. I thought that was a bit strange because he initially sort of wants to get some information off her, and then as soon as his heart started back up, he just sort of leaves her dead in the corridor.
No, he didn't say he was getting any information off of her. He just shuts her down because she's absorbing all the information. He said that.
Yeah. Well, she's a portal, right?
Anyway, they find the wormhole in the lift and enter the spaceship in orbit.
Oh, yeah, good lift. Here we call that a freight elevator. Okay.
Yeah.
Humongous.
Anyway, the spaceship is in orbit one dimension to the left. Again, the word left is mentioned. Darth Vader minus helmet appears and announces...
Yeah, that's what I thought,
...that they are the Shakri.
Hey, he was in a Star Wars.
Who was?
The actor.
Oh, was he? Okay.
What's his name?
I'll have to look.
That's a strange... I'll have to... Oh, I see. Sorry, you'll have to look. If it was a Welsh name, I'll have... The human contagion must be eliminated, apparently. Doctor stands up for humanity, as he always does. Doctor is going to use the cubes to turn people's hearts back on again. That's
Stephen
convenient.
Stephen Birkhoff.
Oh, thank you. Who is?
Same to you.
They run from the burst of energy, and Rory misses this, as in the running. Everyone comes back to health. Kate...
1937.
No, he was in Star Trek, not Star Wars, sorry.
Oh, was he?
I'm wrong.
And he was in James Bond, Octopussy.
Ah.
Anyway. And Rambo, right. Part okay, 2. And Beverly Hills Cop.
Thank you.
Okay.
Kate compliments the Doctor as he's...
Oh, he's even a UFO. Oh, cool.
For goodness sake. Kate
compliments...
Be quiet! Kate compliments the Doctor as he scratches the back of his neck like Pertwee used to do.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, yes.
And
that.
He gets a
though.
Kiss. Brian thinks that Amy and Rory should go with the Doctor, not Amy and the Doctor should go with Rory, because that would be a bit silly. and Brian is offered a place, but he says... Well, he wants to stay at home and water the plants.
Yes.
So, yeah. There we go. That was that one. Now,
that
when
was
I
fastest
first...
we've ever gone through.
Well, because you... Well, because yes. I made notes.
What she said.
When I watched this one, I did enjoy it. I thought it was quite sweet. I thought the comedy was good. I thought the, you know, interaction between characters was good. It was lovely to see the daughter of Lethbridge Stewart on there and various other elements. But... I kept thinking there wasn't much of a story there. It was just a sort of...
No.
It was more of a situation. It's more of a situation than a story. And it was more about, you know, sort of everyday Dr. Stroke, Rory and Amy's life, with a sort of background thing happening with the cubes and stuff. So, but having said that, I did really enjoy it. That's a strange thing, because... If you're looking for a story, you're not going to be getting one here, but you might get a bit of fun out of it. So that's all I can say.
It's just building up to next week, really.
Yeah,
though,
it was just
isn't
a sort of
yes.
It was a strange one, as far as there being no story, really, or not much.
Well,
of
all
one.
It seemed to be was yet another episode dedicated to the Pons are leaving. That a year from now, who's going to care?
Good question. Reese. So, I think I've gone through what I enjoyed about it, which was the fact that we had... I hope we're going to have her back as well, Kate Stewart.
Oh, I hope she comes
I'm
back.
Sure we
I liked yeah. her.
As well as her friend.
Oh, for God's sake.
Nice, too.
Amy liked her, too.
And I did like
I think she was the best part of this episode.
Well, Amy, yeah, I know. You mean Kate. I quite like the graphics on the boxes when they were active. I thought they were really good.
Yeah.
I like the way when there was a few around, they all had exactly the same graphics on. Really enjoyed
that.
And
when you twirled one of the boxes or moved it in any ways, the graphic looked like it was a hologram inside. It was really cool.
Yeah.
The mill outdid themselves.
Absolutely. Really, really good. And this was the actual feeling of this episode. It had a sort of reminiscence to the similar episodes that when we used to had Rose and Mickey, and the Doctor was sort of involved in a situation on Earth. It had that sort of feel about it. bit, maybe a bit more comedy.
It was very RTD feeling, the whole thing.
Yeah. But you know, on the whole, it was all right. I quite enjoyed it. Slightly better than the last one that I said was all right. This one was slightly better than all right.
Sound of Mercy, you said, was kind of...
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
I love Town Called Mercy.
I like this one better than Town Called Mercy.
Okay. Oh, not me. Not me.
Not me either, but I like it.
You could just kind of toss this one, and I wouldn't care. It doesn't really contribute to anything.
So I'm just laughing because Robert, for about four times, just gone, Adam.
Yes.
Adam.
You know what the kid did remind me of? You know Bupa, the healthcare group?
Yes.
Well, that's what it reminded me of, the cubes.
Oh, don't remember them. Sorry.
Oh.
Can anyone shed light on what those bodies, who those interns or whatever they were, that were shuttling people off to the spaceship and what they were doing in the spaceship?
And also their strange mouths. What was that for? You know, I didn't quite understand.
Well, they were cubes, sort of.
But they, I mean, that was obviously there to scare the kids, the fact they had these funny mouths, but...
Except the thing that struck me about them is that they looked very much, what is the episode? They remind me of the faceless ones.
Ah. Yes.
When the guys in the faceless ones open their mouths up real wide and emit the gases.
Oh, is that the faceless ones?
You're thinking from the deep.
Fury from the deep.
Fury the deep? Okay.
Out-pedanted, Mr. Bartlett Sloan.
It's 5:27 in the morning.
Here we go. It's 5:27 in the morning.
That's my excuse normally.
Yeah, don't ever challenge Adam or Robert's knowledge of Classic Who.
Yeah, so as I said last week, You Won't Get Fooled Again is one of my absolute favourite songs from the early 70s, that was My Generation. And there was a song called Dogs, which was B-side of I Can See for Miles. It's another one of my favourite songs by The Who. Carry on.
I thought you didn't have that good eyesight, Adam.
What?
You said you can see for miles.
Oh, for God.
Yeah,
and you can't even see your iPad. My goodness.
Well, it's a bit smeared because where it's raining currently at the moment. I went out to move Deb from one customer to another, and my glasses are covered in little dried raindrops at the moment. Because not only did I not have time.
I have a whole lot of these little claws to clean my glasses.
Yeah, but the thing is, though,
invest in some of those.
I haven't had time to even get my lunch, let alone clean smears off glasses. I've just come straight in here, try to sort out the audio problems I was having with these machines, and then got started recording, so I haven't had any lunch. So for you lot, I'm starving myself. So there you go. Right, so what do we think then? I've said what I thought about. I'm going to ask Mr. Bartlett Sloan. No, sorry, Parton and Bartlett Sloan mixed up. I was going to say Parton, and then I saw Bartlett Sloan up on the thing. Mr. Parton.
Yes.
Go on then. Let's have your rather odd opinions of this story.
My rather odd opinions of it?
Yes, I've been hearing about
I thought it was good.
Strange things you've been posting online recently, but we'll be discussing that later on. What about this one?
I enjoyed it, but as you said, there was no story, and it kind of just was have a fun moment with the Doctor doing this, another fun moment with the Doctor doing this. Oh, wait, we're reaching the 45-minute mark. We better add a story and tie it up. And they kind of did that in the last 2 or 3 minutes. And
except they never reached the 45-minute mark.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the shortest episode of all.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, so that's what got me, right? Because when I was watching it, and it seemed to drag a little bit when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to end up being a two-parter because they haven't actually got started with the story yet, and it got like to half an hour.
Well put, Adam. Well put.
Hang on, and they all tied it up within about 5-10 minutes. You know, but there you go.
Mm-hmm. But that said, I liked the fun moments with the Doctor doing something funny, with Brian doing his log and them going back to...
Doing his log? What? Did they show him going to the toilet? I must have missed that bit.
Doing his video log.
Oh, his video log, sorry.
Yeah.
So he videoed himself going to the toilet.
I thought it was ludicrous.
What was ludicrous?
Just sat there staring at it.
What was ludicrous?
Waiting in the TARDIS for 4 days.
Oh, yeah. But then it's different... there's different time in the TARDIS, isn't it? Sort of out of time, even if it's parked up, so it won't seem like 4 days to him.
Well, did you notice that he was in the TARDIS for 4 days, and then later on, the cubes woke up after 361 days, so it was a full year.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And it really was the year of the Soul Invasion then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she said, though.
I thought it was a fun episode, but nothing happened, and it did feel like we don't want to say goodbye to the Pons yet, leave it to the next episode, and it just felt like a space filler.
I will tell you, right, if somebody's been telling people, oh, you should watch this new series of Doctor Who, it's been really good, so they didn't decide to join it on this episode, they're not going to be watching the next one, I don't think. I think this is one for people who are regular viewers. Yes, which I don't think is a good idea.
For the fan.
I enjoyed it, but that's why I enjoyed it, because I'm a fan, but I don't think it'd be good to... and a good episode to keep people viewing for next week, you know. That's what I was saying, that one. Because people who aren't Doctor Who fans don't really care. But anyway, Mary, what did you think?
Well, I think you're all making my argument for me.
Oh, bye then.
Adam, you said the time dragged. Yeah. You said it dragged. It did. I kept looking at the clock to see, you know, when is something going to start happening?
Yeah.
When am I going to see something I don't already know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the space filler, here we are again talking to Amy about that they're going to leave. And it's like, we are just, you know, beating this horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Why hasn't it died already?
Indeed.
And then it's short. It's very short. Yeah. The resolution was way too quick, way too easy.
Yeah.
So I just felt like, okay, you know, a year from now, who's going to care about this episode? It's just, it's going to be like, you know, as I put on the Facebook page, it's going to be like Fear Her.
At least Fear Her had a bit of story.
We're just going to kind of skip over because there really isn't anything to it.
Yeah, it's better
I did
than
love
those.
The introduction of Lethbridge Stewart's daughter. I hope she comes back. She was the best part of this. The doctor being a part of their days. I mean, we know he's full of energy and lives in a different time frame. And, you know, although it was amusing, it wasn't informing at all, you know, how he was. So, my opinion is,
Yeah. Well, it's funny to say that because we've seen the doctor act like that in when he was experienced fairly everyday life with Craig. First one he was in, what was that called?
The Lodger.
Lodger, that's it.
Yeah.
And to a certain amount in the second one he was in, which was called
Closing Time.
Well done. So it was in some way it was nice to see him like that with Amy and Rory on Earth, because we haven't really seen that. And the other thing I've noticed with this series is that they haven't left Earth. All the episodes have been either on Earth or orbiting Earth, which is a bit of a shame.
Oh, good observation.
Never mind.
Yeah.
And another thing about this episode is, look, it's only been a half hour we've been doing this, and we're already pretty much done talking about it.
Well, no, we haven't had Kirby on yet. Go on then, Kirby.
And since this was the last episode that they filmed, I'm sure they made an effort to cram in, you know, every loose thread from the other episodes, which is probably why we got the charger under King Henry's bed, and Chibnall's probably told, well, write this episode and be sure you do something about Christmas, something about light bulbs, and something about eggs.
Quite possibly.
And
fish fingers and custard.
The light bulbs. Oh. That's it.
What?
The fairy lights all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although that's one thing that I noticed. I'm sorry, Mary, you can continue. I'll get to it.
Oh, no. I'm basically done, yes. Go on.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
When I first saw it, except for a few things, I went, great, I didn't like it. Then I watched it. The second time I watched it, I fell asleep.
That's high praise.
You're making my argument.
No. Then the third and fourth times I watched it, I loved it. I shifted completely around and realized what they were trying to do, which was a character story. It didn't necessarily have to... the whole thing with the Emperor at the end is just completely tacked on, completely ridiculous, but that's not what it's about. It's about the interaction between the four main characters there. I'm including the Briggs' daughter.
Yeah.
And it's I just Brian love the way that, that I just love the way that they all interacted. That was the whole point of it. And there were little things thrown in there for us fans that left, right, and center. Which yes, that's not fair to new viewers, but Zygons.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to see some Zygons. Wow, and then just little things too, like the way that when Amy and Rory get to the Savoy Hotel and the doctor leaves, and Amy shifts from looking real serious to jumping up and down in glee for being.
Oh no, she likes Glee. Oh, it's almost as bad as like Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
And just things left and right like that all the time. And now back to the fairy lights. I was wondering when I'm seeing the scenes that were supposed to be in the summertime why she had those lights up all over the house. And then after I watched it for the fourth time, I went back last night and watched The 11th Hour again. She's got fairy lights up in her room there as well.
Right.
Well, the premise here is the party they just had.
No, she's got them up in other times, not just during the party.
Maybe she just other likes times, fairy lights.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that's our light bulb thing.
Well,
I mean, they have light bulbs. Like, obviously, he was changing the light in it. The light bulb, wasn't he? Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. And, yeah, I see what you mean. I bet they're just put there to try and distract you from the actual thing. There's not for nothing there.
You from the fact that nothing is really happening.
Yes.
The lights are flickering in the episodes, but recently the title sequence has been getting darker and darker too.
You reckon?
Yes, Mary that too, Reese.
Yeah.
It's pink this week.
It's very different colors.
And the color at the very end of the title sequence, I've never seen that color before.
Yeah. Are you talking about the bit after when it, you know, going through the sort of like the time vortex, and then when the first episode, it was a bright, like, lava sort of color.
Yeah.
I haven't really noticed. So it's been going darker, is it? You know, they said that that was happening last year, weren't they? They said that was it the first series? I can't remember. They said it was changing color and going darker and darker, but it wasn't. Maybe because they said that about the first series, he's actually decided to implement this for this one to sort of, you know, add some intrigue to it.
Give us fans some more meat to chew on.
Yes.
Who knows what goes in Muppet's mind?
Did you notice my pedant this time about... Unit has finally decided to get some vehicles that aren't necessarily based in Cardiff.
No, I didn't see that, but well done.
The registration plate for the one Unit vehicle we see, the Range Rover, is from Yorkshire.
Okay, thank you.
Why does it matter?
Is that where Captain Kirk is from?
Captain
cares about it.
Captain Kirk. Confused me. He was from them in Iowa, wasn't it?
Nebraska,
Captain Kirk.
I thought.
No, it was Iowa, wasn't it?
Iowa, yeah.
Anyway, moving on to Mr. Robert Haynes. Are you still awake, Robert?
Yeah.
Oh, good. What do you think?
Still awake.
We went all quiet, I thought.
He's having his dinner.
Oh, right. Lucky you.
Yeah.
What do you mean, lucky me?
Well, I didn't get me lunch because I'm doing this blooming podcast. And I've got to go cook the dog's dinner in a minute. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, pretty much what everybody else has said.
okay, thank you, Robert. Feedback.
Next
no feedback this week. I'm not having it. I'm not doing any feedback because I'm fed up with this noise. So I've decided not to do feedback this week. Instead, we're going to have correspondences.
Okay.
It's only correspondence if you... email them or text them back or whatever.
Well, we are sort of texting them back because we're putting it on the show and commenting about it. Yeah,
one RTD type thing. Sorry to interrupt. one RTD type thing that did anyone notice that the wedding that Amy was invited to be bridesmaid to is a lesbian wedding?
Yeah,
that's getting old.
What is? Well, yeah. Lesbian wedding.
I just noticed that there's lots of little. Nods back to RTD type things.
But you got to bear in mind that going back to A Good Man Goes to War, obviously the there was a inter-special lesbian relationship, obviously you had the gay people soldiers. on the two gay soldiers.
And is Rory's dad retired? Because he's too young.
Yeah, I see that.
Well, you can retire young 53. If you've got enough money in the pot.
What's he doing with his life?
His desire to stay home and water the plants goes against the adventurer that we were introduced to at the end of the dinosaur.
Maybe because he's done he's done all his adventuring, hasn't he, now? Because he did go on a few trips.
A bit like Rory and Amy are talking about. You know, they're talking about having enough kind of thing. Maybe. Yeah. Rory's dad's a bit.
Also, you've got to bear in mind that at the end of the previous episode he was in, which was Dinosaurs on the Spaceship, they were at home getting postcards from him. So some time must have passed between then and the fact that he's now back and he's calling on them to say there's loads of cubes around the place. And they've had a year, you know, involved in that storyline itself.
Obviously took place after Dinosaurs on the Spaceship, but before A Town Called Mercy.
Yeah.
Why, obviously?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Phone charger?
Phone charger. Well, things happen in time differently for the Doctor.
What about the phone charger?
Yeah.
Under King Henry's bed.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with A Town Called Mercy?
It was mentioned in it that Rory left it under the bed, and we saw it in this episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good point. I didn't see that. And obviously, in Time Come Mercy, we had light bulbs going wrong there as well, didn't we? Yeah, so that's another light bulb connection.
Yeah, this is... I'm thinking that... I think maybe the Doctor Who podcast mentioned this, but I think maybe at some points throughout the episodes, the Doctor's at... No, I mentioned them. So that... It doesn't count as plagiarizing. Anyway, I think the Doctor's seen the ponds leave and however they leave, and he's come back, and whenever he notices the light bulbs, that's just a reminder of what's going to happen in their future, but his past.
That's a very good point. Yeah, so he's seen what happens. He's just going back to visit them because he misses them, but he can't.
Yeah, he's trying to wean himself off them.
Yeah, he can't take them with him all the time.
And that's why things are in the wrong order.
That's a very, very good point. And maybe he needs the character that Jenna Louise Coleman plays to actually completely break away from them.
Like Amy said, she thinks that he's winning them off him, but maybe it's the other way around.
Very good point. How interesting. Well done. Ooh, it makes me quite excited.
It's interesting how they fit all this into the episode.
Yeah. And also it makes this episode quite important, if that is actually the case. Yeah. Ooh.
That's why when I was saying that this was a character piece.
Yeah.
That's its purpose.
It's a bit like a soap opera episode, isn't it?
The whole show.
And this then makes the story arc, which is a better way of making a story arc than they've done in previous years, because although Ben might disagree, we'll have his words on this episode in a minute. Obviously, he'll probably like it because it's not written by Stephen Moffat.
Some feedback?
Correspondences.
Well, I know I asked the question either last time or the week before that about Amy's comment that our friends are starting to notice, you know, that we're older than them. And I know in another podcast they did put it together that it had been 10 years that the Ponds had been traveling with the Doctor because of Rory's comment on the beach about, you know, he's 31 and he doesn't have a Christmas list anymore. That they were 21 when they got married, and started traveling with the Doctor. So in this one, it was confirmed with Amy saying that it's been 10 years. But you realize for everybody else like us, it's only been 2.5 years. So I guess that does answer that question. And if you notice in this episode, they're both dressed a lot more modestly and, I don't know, looking more mature.
Yeah. But also, somebody was saying,
Amy is no longer modeling. She's doing the writing.
Yes, travel. She's a journalist. Yeah.
But the thing is, it was just a Sarah Jane sort of connection as well.
I quite liked how the Doctor went outside, did the mowing, played keep up with the ball, and painted the fence all in an hour.
I've got a pedant on that.
No,
how many times did he?
He says something alien or something, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he says what?
Yeah, he bounced the soccer ball. I'm sorry, football ball. Yes, 5 million times.
Yeah.
Now let's say that you did that once a second.
Yeah, all right.
Three months. 3 months.
Okay. Not an hour, no.
he's a Time Lord, he could probably do it quicker.
He exaggerated. Like, he exaggerates his age.
Yes.
Doctor does lie, you know.
Yes, I like that whole scene. That was
yes,
fun.
I thought that was fun. And then Rory's line of an hour. And you get to see the Doctor go, oh...
I'm afraid that was one of my looking at the clock, where is this going moments.
Oh, Mary.
That was one of the few sections I liked when it was first on, that I didn't...
Mm. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Hello to Adam. Hello to Alicia. Hello to Isabella. Hello to Debbie. Hello to Reese. Hello to other Reese. Hello to John and Frank and Bill and Fred and Zippy and Bungle and George and everyone else from Rainbow. For everyone from Australia, everyone from America, everyone from Antarctica, everyone from South Africa, and everyone else in the world who I haven't said good afternoon or morning or evening to yet. It's morning for me. I've just turned up at work. It's just gone 9 o'clock Sunday morning, and as the boss isn't in yet, I thought now would probably be a really good time to record you a little bit of feedback.
And then when the boss listens to it,
fourth instalment of this series, Reese series of Doctor Who, Power of Three. It was an interesting episode, I'll give you that much. I actually really enjoyed it. This series has surprised me brilliantly, just because of how good it's been. Apart from the Stephen Moffat influence, obviously. But last night's episode, yeah, really good again. It did weigh quite heavily on the fact that the Doctor is obviously spending more and more time away from the ponds. And did we get a little insight as to why that was? Because maybe the Doctor... Obviously, the Doctor knows what's going to happen to Amy and Rory eventually. And he's kind of like spending less and less time with them, leaving longer and longer gaps between visits, because maybe he can't handle not seeing them. As
there we go.
As pointed out last night. Mm. But we'll get back to that a little bit later. Firstly, obviously, the big thing about last night's episode was those little black boxes which turned up out of nowhere. And everyone took in and treated as their pets, even though they were only little black boxes with nothing inside them. Well, or so we thought. He waited a year, those boxes activated, and then everyone died of a heart attack. Oh, that was shocking. And what were those baddies? Oh, I can't, baddies. Oh, they weren't baddies. Oh, weren't they bad? Oh, weren't they scary? The hologram bloke who wasn't really hologram, but was a hologram, but then was, and then wasn't, and then is, and then isn't. What were they called? The sweepers, rat sweepers, or whatever it was of the universe. They had to get their tally. I suggest to them they draw four little straight lines down and then one across all of them. That's always a good way to do a tally. If you're trying to count up how many millions of people you've killed on Earth, though, that might take quite a long time. So maybe just a random count might have been a better idea. Ooh, wasn't he scary? Ooh, scary man. Kind of. Anyway, so we saw an insight into Amy and Rory's life and how they coped when the Doctor wasn't there, and they do seem now to be getting on quite well when the Doctor isn't
there. That's what I was going to say about being there. One minute they're divorced, now they're back together again.
Before he shoots off again. So, all in all, that was a good review of the episode, that wasn't it? That was brilliant. Well done, Ben. It's clearly early. All in all, really good episode. Really good. Enjoyed it immensely, even though it was 2 o'clock in the morning when I was watching it, and I was completely knackered by the end of it. To be honest with you, I wasn't taken too much with the next week promo last week, if you see what I mean, for this episode. It didn't grab me at all, but I thought the episode, as it turned out, was excellent, especially the daughter or whatever it was of Lethbridge Stewart. That was a really nice touch. Wasn't it a nice touch? Eh?
Yeah.
Wasn't it a nice touch to bring someone back for the old people who remember all the old stuff of Doctor Who? Wasn't it nice to bring her back?
Wasn't it?
Well, bring her in. Wasn't it nice? Oh, and of course, the great thing about last night's episode, you had Mark Williams back as Brian, Rory's dad. And I think the best bit of it were his video diaries of, of looking at the box for 365 continuous days and absolutely nothing happens, and then he falls asleep in front of the box and of course it moves. See, that was a real chuckle. That really made me next week's episode, what's gonna happen there then? I wonder, will Rory and Amy die, or will they just leave the Doctor to get on with his life and then him to get on with theirs? Or will something strange happen with those weeping angels? Who are, of course, the only issue I've got with the weeping angels while we're on that subject is because obviously they were made up by Stephen Moffat, who is just a genius of a writer. And the thing is, I think he's just trying to make them a little bit too much like dark. Well, understand what I'm trying to say, but when I say it, you might understand it. But I think he's trying to kind of make him a little bit too much dark, like Daleks, in the fact that he wants them to be the Doctor's ultimate enemy, who he keeps on going back to and keeps on having battles against and all that. And, you know, it's, they're not the same, are they? But that's how I see it. But that's just because I love Stephen Moffat, and he's my favourite man in the whole of the entire Doctor Who universe. What else did we see this week? We had Matt Smith saying that he's definitely going to be around for the 50th anniversary next year. Wow, I think we all probably thought he would be, didn't we? Did anyone really think he was going to leave? And that probably won't be a regeneration. Well, I think we probably thought that as well. Well, I certainly did. But yeah, it's a bit random, really. I'm just kind of like sitting and talking. I should be doing work, but now it's 9:15. I need some breakfast, and I really can't start to have breakfast. And the canteen doesn't open till 10. So what am I going to do? I've got 45 minutes with no food.
All this talk of food.
Long, quick rambling. What else was I thinking about? How Amy and Rory are going to leave, maybe. What did I think about this? I thought about this while I was on the toilet last night, actually. what did I think? Hold on, let me just recreate the situation. No, thought still isn't coming to me what I was thinking about.
I know how that feels.
They're going to leave, as I said. If they are, well, they are. How they're going to leave? Will they die? Can they kill off Rory and Amy? Really?
They've already done it about 50 times.
Or will they just be left to continue with their life? Did they say something about how it had been 10 years since the Doctor had been travelling with them? Because that's definitely got something to do with it. Definitely. I did say at the beginning, on the first little bit I recorded for the first episode, back, that I thought that may be some long-term storyline, the fact that the Doctor's leaving them longer and longer. And it does appear that way, but we'll have to wait and see exactly what happens next week. Anyway, I better leave it there, because we're getting on for 7 minutes, and I'm sure you're probably getting bored of me now. What am I talking about? Of course you're not getting bored of me. It's the best bit of the podcast. I'll tell you what I might do, actually. I might start making this a podcast within a podcast. That's not a bad idea. I could call this Ben's Bit.
I thought we already did.
That's what we'll do. So thank you very much for listening to Ben's Bit. Have yourself a nice... Well, actually, I'm not going to speak to you again now probably till Christmas, am I? Because there's no new episodes till Christmas Day. So, I'll speak to you next week, of course. So I'll speak to you next week after the mid-series finale, after 5 episodes. The point of that is what? Moffat?
Yeah.
So enjoy your lives, and don't get hooked up with the Doctor. He never does you any good. And I'll see you next week. Oh, actually, no. Actually, before I go, I must tell you. Last week, I took my little ones to the play park. Little ones, 12 and 6, but I still took them to a play park. And whilst I was there, there was one little chap who can't have been older than 5 or 6 years old, who was running round in a Doctor Who outfit. Matt Smith, Dr. Abbey, had the bow tie on, the tweed jacket, and the trousers. It just looked like it was lovely. It was really nice seeing someone that young, clearly massively into Doctor Who. The only thing I didn't think he quite got was the fact that with his sonic screwdriver, although he was walking around going zap to everyone, he was also throwing it at people as a weapon. And I think that's what it's meant to be.
Please do not throw sonic screwdrivers
out. Anyway, that is it. 8 minutes gone, and I'll speak to you next week. Enjoy next week's episode, and hey, big love to everyone.
Bye, Ben.
Bye, Ben.
Please do not throw screwdrivers at me.
Don't think of it as a projectile weapon.
Oh, dear. I don't know what... I think Mary's is sort of magnetising new feedback contributors to the show. Because I have here from Gareth Lloyd. Hi, everyone.
Ooh.
So, long-time listener, first-time feedbacker. Just a few thoughts on The Power of Three. I really enjoyed this episode. It was a nice character piece. I really enjoyed the setup of the invasion. There were some nice performances, especially from Mark Williams and Gemma Redgrave. The way UNIT was used, with Kate in charge, has a lot of potential, and I hope we see them back soon.
Yes.
The references to the Brigadier were quite touching, and... Were all the more powerful for being nicely underplayed. Matt Smith continues to get better so far. Better, and it was the most RTD-like episode of the Moffat era so far. So my favourite episodes in descending order of this series so far are Power of Three, A Town Called Mercy, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and finally Asylum of the Daleks. So looking forward to the next episode. Keep up the goo work. Cheers, everyone. Gareth. Oh, sorry, the D missing. I think he's probably more accurate. The goo work is probably what he actually wrote. Thank you, Gareth. That's your fault, Mary. You managed to get somebody else to write some feedback in. And of course,
if
you want to send in any correspondences to the show, messages, or whatever you want to call them, as long as it's not called what I just said.
I totally disagree with him, but then that's what this is all about, isn't it?
You mean you disagree with him? What the order of the episodes?
Well, the order in which he liked his episodes, yes.
Okay. So do I, for that matter. But I certainly would put Asylum of the Daleks a bit higher up the list there.
Yes, I would too.
And yeah, Town Called Mercy down the bottom. But they're all good episodes, like Ben said. All good episodes. I mean, I think Ben, even though he was saying he doesn't like Moffat, I don't think he was saying the Moffat episodes were bad. He was just, they said they were all right. So they're not bad, although they're all right. So, yeah. All right. Q.
Yeah, well, thanks for writing, Gareth.
Yes, thank you, Gareth. Yeah. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. No interruptions for once for the email address. Well done, everyone.
What's that email address again?
20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Repeat it.
No. I just did, and you talked over it. Yes. Yeah, keep it coming, and let's have some more people's, opinions on this series of Doctor Who. Meanwhile,
is that it for the feedback?
Hello, it's Twenty Mega Mike Podcast. Back in the Kirk. Captain's log, day 342. The cubes are unchanged. They don't move around like those silhouettes in the Army of Ghosts. That was a proper worldwide invasion of mysterious black objects. In that one, the Doctor was captured by Yvonne Hartman and Torchwood. The same here, except it was the Brigadier's daughter and unit. She reminded me of Emma Thompson in Men in Black 3. RTD had the Gallifreyan legend of the Toclophane. Moffat has the Shakri. Because episodes are filmed in blocks, with the scenes out of order, Karen and Arthur's last scene was in here somewhere. The cubes must be the most easily reproduced props ever. Eat your heart out, TARDIS builders. In the TV series Babylon 5, there was a famous line, "I was dead, but I'm better now." In this episode, a third of the world were dead, but they're better now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heart-stopping. Perhaps Chibnall wrote a two-parter, but Moffat edited the second part down to 2 minutes. He could claim it was an odd episode to reflect the oddness of the Pond's lives. The Doctor frowned when he heard mention of Twitter. Then again, when he heard the birdie song by a group called The Tweets.
Yeah, very good.
Those alien hospital workers looked like they could fit a cube into their mouths. As with each episode this series, the solution was to blow something up. The Asylum, Solomon's ship, the Carla ship, the Shakri ship. Yeah. Look out, Manhattan.
Yeah. Yes.
And he was right, the Tantum was changing colour. It was a purple passage this week. We do not know when the episode for next year's 50th anniversary will be recorded, so for Matt Smith to say he's staying for the 50th does not tell us much.
No.
Speaking on the Alan Carr TV chat show, Matt said this.
No, I've got another 10 weeks of filming. I'm coming back for the 50th anniversary. I mean, there's loads more to shoot.
Bye for now.
Thank you for that, Ian.
Yeah. You know, it occurred to me that for a great 50th anniversary episode would be a regeneration.
Yeah, I thought they might be doing that, but I'm not sure now. They talk about the fall of the 11th, didn't they, in one of the episodes of the last series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have to go, guys, so thanks for having me on.
Did we get through enough for you this week? Because normally we cock it right up and you have to leave halfway through the synopsis, don't you? So hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, you did a great job, Adam. Thank you.
When are we recording next week?
Well, the plan is to record on Sunday until something comes up. I am at a bridal show next week, but...
That's what she said.
But I should be available to record on Sunday.
Okay, so Sunday it is, unless you tell us differently?
Indeed. Thank you very much, Sunday, Mary. Sunday. Everybody give a round of applause for the lovely, gorgeous...
Sunday.
No, start singing, otherwise you won't get a round of applause.
Yeah.
Mary Lang!
Bye, Adam. Bye, Reese. Bye, Robert. Bye, Kirby.
See ya.
Right then, I have the charts. Don't know if I really should bother doing this particular feature anymore, but there you go. Right, number 30, down 3, Staggering Stories. Number 29... Down.
That far down, there's something seriously weird.
Don't interrupt the charts. 29, down 5, The Whostorian. 28, down 3, Playing Doctor. 27, down 9, Impossible Podcasts, Doctor Who Commentaries. 26, Re-entry, Sound on Sight. 25, Don't Flap Your Ears Podcast by
Star.
Sorry.
25, down 6, A Madman with a Box. 24, down 1. Casterbarus Podcast. 23, down 1. Doctor Who, Who's He? 22, Re-entry.
I don't know, who is he?
Doctor Who After Buzz TV Show. 21, New Entry, Geek It Out Over Doctor Who. Number 20, Up 6, Police Box Paradox, who recently added me on Twitter. That's very nice. Number 19, down 2, Doctor Who Review Today. Number 18, down 2,
tomorrow.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number 17, down 2, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. 16, Re-entry, The Crinoid Podcast. 15, down 1, The Minute Doctor Who Podcast. Number 14, Up 7, The Doctor Who Cast. Number 13, A New Entry, Who
Germany?
Review. No, not from Germany. Number 12, A Non-Mover, The Omega Podcast. Number 11, Down 1, The Memory Cheats. Number 10, Re-entry, The Pharos Project. Number 9, Non-Mover, The 11th Hour. Number 8, Non-Mover, Impossible Podcasts. Number 7, I'm repeating myself, Non-Mover, The Oodcast. Number 6, again, Non-Mover, The Flashing Blade. As again, number 5, Non-Mover, DWO Whocast. And again, Non-Mover at number 4, Tin Dog Podcast. And can you guess at number 3, it's a Non-Mover for Radio Free Scaro. But at number 2, down 1, Doctor Who Podshock. And number 1, up 1, The Doctor Who Podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's
so there you go.
Isn't it?
That's the... Top 30 Doctor Who podcast for this week.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say anything more about that. Anyway, right.
Probably won't.
I'm quite interested to know. Reese was saying on Facebook
Yes.
That you were going to, and you, Kirby, watching at the 11th hour to find any clues for the last episode of this series. So, as I haven't had a chance, you didn't find any. Did you find any, Kirby?
No.
What a letdown.
I'll go back and watch the 11th hour anytime. I love that one.
Yes. Yeah. But how many times have we had, like, we've watched episodes of Doctor Who and thought, I know what we'll do. We'll watch 11th hour, see if there's any clues, and see nothing. The only thing I saw in the 11th hour, which was a bit odd, was one of the scenes where there's an extra flight of stairs which just goes up to a ceiling and it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
just...
I know. That still strikes me as odd.
Yes.
Well, one of the things I noticed was on the wall in Amelia's bedroom when the doctor first turned up, there's a picture of the house, but the house is on fire.
Oh. Huh? What, in 11th hour?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Am I going to have to throw the DVD in the drive?
Well, don't throw it. You might damage it.
Don't break it.
Just place it.
Yes. Or just watch it online. Yeah. So, oh, hang on.
Oh, no.
The sun's come out.
No, there it is. I thought I had lent it somewhere.
Outside, the sun's come out. It stopped raining and the sun's come out and the dogs are getting spooked.
Get us some rain, please.
No, it's still dark. Sun's just starting to come up.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so, and the other thing about Mr. Reese Parton.
Sun's gone down here.
The other thing about Mr. Reese Parton, I've heard that Reese has been winding up certain other presenters on this podcast. What have you got to say for yourself, Reese?
How have I been winding you up?
I don't know, but Kirby's been...
With a key.
Kirby, what's Reese been up to, Kirby?
I don't know. What's he been up to?
Robert, what's Reese been up to?
What has he been up to? I don't know. What's he been up to? Tell me.
Saying rather pedantic stuff about stuff. I don't know. I'm sure you've been remarking.
Well, if you're leading up to the fact that he doesn't think the BBC itself is...
That's the one. That's the one I was looking for.
That he is more canon than the BBC itself.
If it's not on telly, it doesn't count.
What? Where was this comment?
It's probably many comments that we've had in the past few days.
If it's not on telly, it doesn't count.
Where was the comment?
So if somebody said something about downtime. Because somebody asked, after this episode went out, it said, after this episode, does that mean downtime is canon?
Downtime and apparently Demos Rising.
Yeah.
Doctor Who spin-offs from the 90s.
Yeah, I know, but I don't remember downtime.
They both feature, as far as I'm aware, the character of the Brigadier's daughter.
That's why
people are saying that it's canon.
They're canon now.
I've only seen downtime and his daughter's living on a barge.
And talking of downtime, Downton Abbey got an Emmy. Maggie Smith did anyway.
They do refer to her as Kate in Downtime.
Ooh, and Downton Abbey. Oh no, in Downtime, sorry.
No.
That's probably why people are saying, does that mean it's canon?
But is it?
Well,
if it's not on telly, then it's not canon.
I mean, they got Victoria Waterfield in there, and she's sort of like possessed by the great intelligence for goodness knows how many years.
Oh. Well, I think that's another example of something appearing somewhere else and then eventually being written into the telly, like Human Nature and Family of Blood.
Mm-hmm.
That was a book to begin with.
Yeah. Just stealing other ideas and...
Is it Stephen Moffat again?
Excellent. Okay.
Oh, I see. It's a children's drawing of the house.
Mm.
And it's on fire.
Maybe it's a drawing by Ace of the house she set fire to in her childhood that ended up being the Ghost Light
Gabriel
house.
Gabriel Chase or whatever the name was.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to look at news because... voting has now opened for the 2013 National Television Awards. People keep forgetting to vote for Doctor Who in that for some reason, and so far, since Moffat has become showrunner, Doctor Who has won nothing. So come on!
Who's allowed to vote for that?
People in the United Kingdom. We have a couple of people listening to the show in the United Kingdom, so that's me and Ian.
We do?
Yeah. So come on, let's vote for Doctor Who in the National Television Awards. It's the only ones they actually put on telly, so they might as well vote for us. And it's the only one that the public can vote for. And we have won awards on it before. It's about time we won it again. That's all I'm saying on the matter. The BBC have released their confidentialette on Power of Three. That's available to view on YouTube and BBC iPlayer. So,
why didn't you just post it up on the Facebook
Do I have to do absolutely everything... Right, hang on.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something, you should do it.
Well, I don't know how to get the link. Hang on, share. Here, I'll click on that, see what happens.
Share and enjoy.
Facebook, there we go.
Are you telling us to go stick our heads in pigs?
I beg your pardon?
Yes, he just said share and enjoy.
Did I?
No,
I did.
Yeah. It's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, I thought it might be, yes.
That's why I went over
everything.
My head when you
either
read the first
either a Doctor Who joke or a Hitchhiker's Guide joke.
Right, I've shared it to Twitter and Facebook, but it's not on the on the 20 megabyte group. It will probably be in my timeline. So you might want to pick up the link and drop it. Power of Three overnight ratings were 5.49 million. Now that's quite good because they haven't added on the downloads and the recordings of that yet. And there's always a couple more million people download it and record it, etc. Australian ratings for A Tale Called Mercy, 6 this week. It's up from last week. Oh, sorry, 556,000. Yeah. That's down, isn't it? Because it was 700 and something thousand, I can't remember. UK,
okay.
Official... don't interrupt the official UK ratings of Doctor Who's A Tale Called Mercy, because it was 8.42 million. And this day and age, it's pretty good, because there's so many other things to watch on TV at that particular time of the evening. 8.42 million. Yes, sorry, Kirby. Carry on.
There's the drawing in Amelia's room. I just put it on Facebook.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Now, that gives us time. That's about it, by the way, for news. Because they've only put on the New Zealand viewing figures, which is even worth wasting breath on.
New Zealand?
Not worth wasting breath on. Really isn't.
Well, I've got news about the second Doctor Who Symphonic Spectacular.
Have you? Are you going to it?
When are you going?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm
going
on the 15th of December at 7 p.m. is the show that we're going to. If you want to come.
The thing is, right, now, that's a good idea. Get Robert a place on it. But last year I seem to remember you going to this and devoting a couple of very good episodes of the Who Is A Man podcast to it. This year, you're going to do exactly the same thing again, but forget the Who Is A Man podcast. You're going to do it for us. Aren't you, Reese? Yes, that's the words I'm looking for. Yes, and you've all got to get your mum and dad on it as well. And there's your task for it.
Well, I'll make sure I get mum and dad on Who Is A Man one.
No. Sorry.
It's logistically impossible to get them on this one.
I drag members of my family onto this show under...
drag?
Well, basically. Unfortunately, Alicia and Isabella managed to escape this morning, so I couldn't grab hold of them, and Deb's gone off to work.
Escape
my attempts to get them to talk about this episode. Isabella said, "I haven't seen it," and then just as she was leaving at school, "Actually, Dad, I did watch it, really." She didn't want to talk about it. I said, "Alicia, can you talk about it?" "No." And off she went. So
I haven't been able to drag any of my three daughters to see it yet, even though I've seen it 4 times.
Well, indeed.
They're busy.
Are they?
Yeah.
Know how that feels.
Can I just say, actually, when I did go to mention what was happening at the Symphonic Spectacular, I had Ben interrupting me every 5 seconds.
Did you?
I remember that.
Ah. Okay. Well, he won't be interrupting you this time, so...
No.
Yes, don't forget.
Yeah, we anyway.
Okay. Right, I'm trying to see what else is going on at the moment, and there doesn't appear to be much going on. What do we think, then? I think we're getting to the stage now. We've had a few theories on the final instalment of this little mini series! Mini-series.
I can cop that and paste that wherever I want now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
he's going to loop it.
So what do we think is going to happen? I've had some very interesting theories in regards to the departure of the Ponds, because we see a red herring clip in the... Be quiet. We see a red herring clip of them falling, which is clearly a red herring clip, because they always show clips like that in you look forward to next week, and it's nothing to do with that.
Actually, next time, you're actually going to see them go splat on the concrete.
No.
Like Sherlock.
And the fact is also, we haven't mentioned that River Song is going to be in this episode. And also the fact that I think that the angels are going to do something. The energy that must be encompassed in the time energy, if you send Rory and Amy back in time, because they're time travellers, must be... a lot larger than just sending any old sort of human being back like they have done in their first appearance in Doctor Who. I'm thinking that might have some bearing on it, the fact that Amy and Rory are time travellers and they've got a lot of time energy because of that, and of course the angels feed off something. Maybe they do get Amy and Rory and it's too much for them and there's a big bang and the angels and Amy and Rory get killed. Big explosion kills Amy, Rory and all the angels. What do you reckon? No. Doesn't wipe out Manhattan. It just wipes out them.
I don't think that they're going to be killed. I think they're just going to be
just taken out of time.
Back in time in a way that they can't be retrieved.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's more or less killed, then, isn't it? They're taken out of it. But
you live your life to death.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're taken out. But that will also take the angels out of the equation as well. I think the time, the temporal energy there will take out the angels.
Well, that's the line from Blink.
Yeah.
That's what the doctor says in Blink itself.
And he says it in this, doesn't he? He says something about...
I'd have to watch the trailer again.
Yeah, but there's a point when he does...
At least they're not... snapping necks like last
no,
time.
No, they're going back to being how they should be. I like that
exactly.
Yeah, so that's what I my theory is. I've said what it is. I think that's how they're going to take Amy and Rory out of it. They're just going to be sort of, and that's why the doctor, like you say, is going backwards and forwards to see them, because he just can't do without them. He can't take himself away. But obviously there's going to be another light bulb link somewhere along the line, because it is a bit odd that we've had all these light bulbs in the series, unless that's just to try and detract you from, you know, the inevitable, you know, departure. But yeah, that's more. Anybody else got any theories, or do you just agree with me like you should?
I agree with you.
Hey!
I agree with you, but I think maybe one plot thread that could be picked up on is the fact that Amy looked into the eyes of an angel and had one in her head, and they may not have entirely gotten rid of that. A bit like the way she might have some Dalek nanogenes still in her from when
her wristband was off. Yeah, maybe she's going to turn into a Dalek angel.
It's funny you should say that.
Injection by the cubes this week as well.
When I was watching the Patter of Three at the end, when Brian was saying, come on, you two, just go with him, sort of thing, he had a shadow on his forehead. Well, it looked like a shadow. I thought, oh my god, is a Dalek eye going to come through his
shadow?
No, it's sort of like it was a physical shadow rather than some mark on his forehead that looked. I thought, my god, isn't a Dalek eye going to come through his head, through Brian's
shadow,
head? Oh my god, you know.
Speaking
of shadows, yeah. Well, Hank Marvin or
Marvin?
Brian. I can't remember the other one's name.
Yeah, where is that shadow? At the end.
It's just a mark on his head. A strange.
Okay, probably
center of his forehead.
Speaking of shadows, did anyone catch the fake shadow of the Beefeater at the Tower of London?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, when they first pull up to the tower to be let inside by unit, but they have an obviously pasted in fake shadow of a Beefeater. I mean the whole uniform.
Yeah.
Beside the car, it's very obvious.
As they get out
there,
is that why they were using the lens flares maybe to try and hide that?
Yeah, that's one thing. There's lens flares all over the place.
Ah.
Yeah. Especially the unit cars, really.
Yeah.
Registered in wherever they were registered.
Yeah.
Yorkshire.
Yeah.
All right, then. One thing I want to say before I go.
The one car, which is that I know. So let me see if you can see the one at 455. What cars don't start with letters? That's interesting.
Never mind.
I'll have to research that.
It's very varied in Australia, Kirby.
Okay.
Because there's lots of personal license plates that you can get.
Okay. Mm. Anyway, I just wanted to say, remember a few weeks ago I was saying about the my new ebook that's coming out, and I was looking for a design for the cover, and I said the deadline would be the end of September. Well, it's getting pretty much towards the end of September, and guess what? Absolutely nothing. So all I'm going to have to do is get Isabella to draw something on the page. We'll send that up to Apex Publishing, shall we? Thanks, everybody.
I would need. You'd have to probably tell me a bit more.
It's been 2 months.
Yeah. You can read a large section of the book for free. I started reading it.
Don't tell people that. You should be saying, you can download the book for a very reasonable price from iTunes. That's the Diary of an Unwilling Virgin.
I can't on my computers. I need like a smartphone. Or,
you know, no, you don't.
Yeah, I can't look at it on my computer.
Okay.
You need anyway. Like an iPad or something, because you need to need an app to be able to view it.
Right. Okay.
Oh, back to a power of three.
Okay.
I'm looking at that scene. It just looks like a smudge on his.
Yeah, that's
forehead,
what I'm saying. But there's something that stood out when I was watching it.
In that scene, there's a couple of subtle little things going on, which are kind of interesting. They're eating Chinese food, and Amy picks up some food with her chopsticks, and then appears to pull a hair out of the food on her chopstick. Which is
that a comment about Chinese food in the UK?
No, I had some Chinese food yesterday.
She just had some hair in her, but you left that in. And then also, just as the doctor gets up to leave, he snatches something off the table. I think it was a fortune cookie.
Excellent.
Interesting.
Anyway, I'm going to have to tie it up there because I can't think of anything else to say, and I've got to finish cooking the dog's dinner, make the bed before, because Deb's on it, and get some lunch, and it's Deb's short day today, so she's going to be home soon, so I should get these things done before she turns up, apart from the fact I have a wedding to edit, and I've got to edit some and upload some promos for
my website.
Are you
going to change
website.
The ending when you edit?
Huh? What do
you mean? Change the ending when you edit it?
Edit what? What do you mean?
Edit the show. The wedding.
No, the wedding. Will you be quiet? Talk about the promos. I've got to upload some promos to YouTube, and I have to do that, and then I have to delete all the footage off the computer before I put the new footage from the wedding I filmed yesterday on the computer, because it's all getting a bit full up. In the meantime, thank you everybody for listening to the show, and thank you a lot for being on the show, and looking forward to next week, obviously, but apart from the fact it's the last one of the series. But,
yeah, that's a disappointing thing, isn't
it? Yeah. But it'll be back soon afterwards, so that's not too bad. I think I have a feeling Christmas may be the beginning of the next block. I hope so, anyway.
I did hear that there'll be a 10-second trailer for the Christmas special after the next episode.
Excellent! That sounds exciting.
It'll probably just be like a
hand. Of trailer.
It might be something like that hand in the water with the sonic screwdriver before Let's Kill Hitler, but there's going to be a trailer.
Excellent. Good. Right. Yeah, that was point. That was didn't end up being anything, did it? That hand, the skeletal hand
with
the sonic screwdriver.
There's some interesting things going on if you freeze frame in the trailer for next week. That scene from Times Square. There's an eye over on one billboard, which is almost like a taxi. It almost looks like a Doctor Who ad in the main, you know, if you ever see pictures of Times Square, there's that main billboard.
Yeah.
Right back, and you see what looks like the Doctor pointing a sonic screwdriver, and yet Amy and the Doctor are running in the foreground. And then, of course, there's the statue over to the right, which is obviously has something to do with the story. So
there's a Dark Shadows poster in there, too.
yes, there is.
Thank you very much. Of course, listeners...
that's going to be remembered longer than the movie itself.
You're probably right, but I can smell burning in the kitchen. If you want to go to my website, listeners,
Magic
it's www.apvservices.co.uk. Just for the sake of it, you can see my little wedding promos and stuff. And if you want to go to my YouTube channel, 20MB Podcast, that's the YouTube channel where you can see all sorts of other stuff not really related to the podcast. There you go. There's a few Doctor Who things on there, like the John Pertwee interview video. That's quite good.
Yeah,
that's quite interesting.
Great. I hope you turn that into the John Pertwee people who are trying to put
together.
They
took no notice of it. But it's there's some nice little videos on my YouTube channel. That's 20MB Podcast. Yeah. Just search that on YouTube and you'll find my stuff. But in the meantime, did you say Adam? Or did you say you did it? I don't know. Anyway, in the meantime, I'm going to try and save the dog's dinner from burning to a crisp. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you, everybody, for being on the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 This is Toby Whithouse, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And I've managed to corner Alicia and Isabella this morning. Sorry about the background noise. Deb's working, aren't you, Deb? Alicia, what did you think of the Power of Three this week?
It was good.
By the way, she's eating a yogurt at the moment, hence the rather noisy board. Well, it wouldn't be Alicia if there wasn't any horrible background noises. So that's basically it. You think it was good. And thank you, Alicia. Now that concludes our little look into the Power of Three. Or would you like to elaborate?
The ending was bad.
What do you mean the ending was bad?
Wasn't really like... Sorry? I don't know, the build up to the ending was bad. It was going to be something dramatic.
You're doing that on purpose, aren't you?
No, I'm hungry.
I don't know what you mean.
And I have school in 20 minutes.
Yeah, but I don't know what you mean by the build up to the ending was.
Well, this whole build up of the cubes and everything, and how they're going to do a special thing, just ended like with a hologram, and the Doctor fixing it. Wasn't really that spectacular, was it?
So what you're saying was, there wasn't a story until the last 5-10 minutes. Because it was all basically about Amy, Rory and the Doctor and their everyday life, and there happened to be some cubes around, and nothing happened with the cubes until the, like, the last 10-15 minutes. Yeah. So, that aside, bear in mind there wasn't much of a story. What did you think of the episode as a whole? Because it was more... in the style of a soap opera, because that's what soap operas are like. There's not really a so much of a storyline in an individual episode. It's sort of spread over a week or so, isn't it? So, considering there wasn't much of a story, I thought it was actually quite good.
Yeah, it was quite good.
And it was all obviously building up to next week.
I don't get how Amy suddenly changed her job occupation.
How do you mean suddenly? She did say that it's 10 years she's been travelling with the Doctor, but where, for us it's only about 2 to 3 years.
I was going to say, because last time we saw her, she was a model.
Yeah, but then she's supposed to be 30 now, isn't she? Or 34? I can't remember. How old was she when she first left with the Doctor?
21.
Yeah, so she's 31 then. And Rory's 32. Yeah. So she wouldn't be a model, would she? And also, do you remember she had that perfume range as well, didn't she? So she's been doing a few things. So, before I ask the next question, Isabella, what did you think of The Power of Three? And I don't really think you watched it, did you? Hello? What did you think of The Power of Three? Where are you going? Where are you curling yourself up into a little ball?
Is Elisa hit me on the leg?
No, well, I'm not going to get much out of her today, so I might as well delete that recording.
Talk then.
Say something then. I'll let you play your recorder in a minute. Pardon?
Too scared
to what? Don't attack her! I'm too scared for what? You find the episode scary? Anyway, back to your page. Anyway, that's right.
Play your recorder.
Never mind, not yet. Alicia, it's obviously this episode was the sort of like the lead up to the last episode with the pond in it, which is. You alright now?
That came out of nowhere.
I think I better have a drink. Yeah, the last episode with the pond in it. So, how do you think we're going to see the ponds leave? The clues apparently are there, 11th hour. There are clues to how Amy leaves, at least. Not that anybody spotted them yet.
In what
episode? What do you think's going to happen?
In what episode?
11th hour.
What, the first ever one?
First Matt Smith episode.
Really?
Apparently so. But I don't think we'll find out what those clues are until the episode's gone out this week. So what do you think? How do you think they're going to... Are they going to kill off Amy and Rory? From quiet... Because something came to mind yesterday that what if Amy's a flesh Amy and she's already dead?
Oh, for God's sake!
No! What if she's a flesh Amy and she's already dead? No. We haven't got any. All the biscuits are frozen now. All the biscuits are now broken. All right, then it's all right shouting no and then throwing the biscuits around. What do you think? Pardon? What do you think then?
I don't know. But it's not going to be that.
It's not going to be that. She haven't got any
I don't know. Punches.
So what? Do you see
no.
what's happening? So you're convinced they're not going to kill her off? What do you think, Isabella?
I don't think they won't kill Amy off.
You don't think they'll kill Amy? What happens if they do kill Amy?
I'm going to cry.
Oh, yeah? What about Rory? What if they kill Rory off?
I'm going to cry.
So you'd be sending a very strong letter to Stephen Moffat. If they kill off Amy and Rory,
I'm going to cry.
So what would you... Video you crying and send it to Stephen Moffat.
Yeah.
You'd probably like that.
No!
Right, so, all right, Alicia, say Amy and Rory are killed off. What are you going to say to me after slamming the biscuits down on the floor?
No, because you said they were flesh ones.
All right, all right. Yeah, but...
What maybe nice
punch ones? What water did you use?
The water that's in the fridge.
Oh, that's okay. All right. Say they're flesh then. What are you going to say?
Walk off and not watch the rest of the episode.
All I said was that they might already be dead or have been dead for a long time, and the doctor's been trying to look after the flesh, Amy and Rory, just to hang on, because obviously he can't separate himself from them. It's not the other way around. He keeps on going back to them, and that makes me think that they are dead, because the only way he can see them is go back in time and see them before they died. He seems to be
maybe
stuck.
You're not saying anything to
it's like
me.
A grief thing, isn't it?
What do you want to say then, Isabella?
Go on, Isabella.
I don't know if Amy and Rosie are gonna go die in the next episode.
Yeah, but that's their last episode, next week's episode. That's when Amy and Rory have their last episode in Doctor Who.
Ever.
Yeah, that's their last one.
Ever.
But we don't know how they're going to leave. You see? So be prepared. In case they decide to kill off Amy.
They're going to kill her, Isabella.
Yes, by the way, don't forget, it's only make-believe.
No,
it's
real.
It's make-believe. Yes, Ali, what's the living
in? Yeah, why do you have to keep talking about it? Why do you go on about it 24/7?
All the time, then, if it's make-believe.
Yeah.
Because it's good make-believe.
Oh, no, but we always have to keep talking about it. Do we keep talking about soaps? No.
You're going
to,
like, fry when it all finishes, Dad.
No, I thought it finished once before. I didn't cry, anyway.
Ah, see, we changed something.
Will you stop? I forgot what I was talking about now.
No, I'm right.
What was I on about? I was just about to ask you a question.
Really. We're in Blackpool, Mum. All we'll do is go to the Who shop.
And no, I'll go to the Who shop.
No,
you won't.
I want to go over to the Who shop with you.
Thank you, Isabella. So I get some support from my future co-presenter. Anyway.
We need the breakfast place. She's dying. Okay.
Anyway, yes, Alicia.
Play recorder now.
Alicia.
Okay then.
No, don't play it now.
Yeah, well,
get
now.
It now. Get it now, but play in a minute. So I'm saying it's a grief thing with the doctor.
Yes.
So you believe that he's seen him out of sea.
I don't know.
He's seen him out of sea because you remember in the last episode, this is what Kirby pointed out earlier on, that the doctor had to go at Rory for leaving his mobile phone charger underneath Henry VIII's bed. But the previous episode, he spoke about the mobile phone charger, so that he's going back and seeing them in a different order than we're seeing them. So that implies that he is. I think they're already dead, Alicia. I think this whole series is trying to cope.
Stop
them not being around anymore.
Believe me, I don't know.
If you don't want to. No,
I'll
just.
So anyway, what do you think, Isabella? What do you think is going to happen with Amy and Rory before you play your recorder?
They're gonna leave.
Just gonna leave.
Are we gonna die?
Well, the last we got the angels, and the angels are very good at dispatching people back in time. Oh dear, she's gone. Right, okay then. I suppose.
Can we hurry up and hear a play recorder, please? Because I need to get my homework.
Rendition of whatever she decides to play. Go on then. Hope it's going to be a tune and not just a horrible noise. You're going to play a tune.
Yeah.
We're going to play first. Tell us what it is. Now, hang on. Tell us what it is. What are you going to play? Or are you just going to make up your own composition? Well, you're nowhere near a microphone, so we wouldn't better. Anyway, go on then.
What was
listening? Just looking at. Carry on. Is that it? That was a very short tune.
Just calm down.
Well, that was a bit quiet all of a sudden. And on that note.
No, have a try now, okay? Okay?
We'll say goodbye. Right.
You haven't ate your breakfast. Right, here we go then. Calm down. Calm down.
You didn't play? I didn't know you weren't feeling very well, sorry.
Yeah. There is a lot of cold around at the sport, man. You might get a phone call. No. Okay, don't
play.
What's the matter with you?
Well, she started choking on something earlier on. Anyway, that's it.
I've got the yogurt! Oh my god, the yogurt! Right near the iPad! Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!